Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
It's my privilege to share with you that in the first service this morning that Jay and Monica Nelson and their four children moved their membership into the Fellowship of Old River Baptist. For which of you, would you give the Lord a hand for that? In addition to that, we had young Anna Wilson came this morning. Her parents, Keith and Julie Wilson, came down with her. And they had gotten one of the pamphlets that we have available for every parent here, every grandparent here, to be able to share with their children how to come to know Christ as personal Savior. And Anna came down this morning trusting Christ as her personal Savior and presenting herself as a candidate for baptism. And all God's people then we have one more that came this morning. Carol Scott came. And Carol said, and I don't know how we let this get by. She said, I've been coming here for 23 years, Brother Danny. And she moved her membership into the Fellowship of Old River this morning. Would you give the Lord a praise offering for that? And John Dommert, is that you? That guy just had open heart surgery. Give the Lord a hand for that. Ah. 39 years ago, I stood in the pulpit of what was our building then on the acre and a half of ground we had. If you would like to see our original building, if you go south on 1409, if you hit 565 and you turn left and just follow it around past that first S-curve and it'll straighten out, and there is a building there with a sign in front of it that says Little Rock Baptist Church, and that was our original building. And whenever the Lord provided for us to have our next place of worship, which is our youth center now, we gave that building to Little Rock Baptist. And matter of fact, had the opportunity and privilege of going over there and being a part of the dedication service there at that service that day. And just one of the most memorable experiences of my life there that day. I stood in the pulpit 39 years ago, and I quoted from a man that we are going to be reading about today. And if you want to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, we'll be there in just a moment. But the story is about Simon Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, I shared my first sermon to this church on the verse that says, to those who believe, he is precious. And I tell you, Jesus is just, if not more precious to me today than he was all those years ago. Church family, you stand on the threshold of the greatest yet to come for your church. And this is your church. And it'll always be a part of my heart. The potential and the people that you have here in this fellowship, you have always been fearless. You have never been afraid to tackle something new. And if it didn't work, it didn't work, and we'd find something else that would work. But you have always been fearless. And this world and this time needs a church to be more fearless and believing in Christ and believing that He is precious more than ever before. There are some things that I hope to see us do this year. One thing that is new this year that we are going to do is I'd share with you a few weeks ago, if you were here, that on Easter this year, we're not going to have our Saturday night service, but instead we'll have our two morning services here at 8:30 and 11. And I would like for you to start practicing sitting at the front and parking in the back and sitting in the front. Can you do that? Is that too hard for you? of course, some of you are scared to sit at the front. I saw on Facebook this week, a couple of our members were, and they tagged me in it so I could read it, that not that I'm always on Facebook, so don't message me on Facebook, okay? You know, if you want to talk to me, call me. And that's the best way if you need to get a quick response. But anyway, I saw on Facebook, one of them was saying, I sit at the front. And somebody responded back and said, aren't you afraid Brother Danny's going to call on you to do something? And they said, yes, we're scared every Sunday, but we sit there anyway. And I just and those families were in the first service this morning, so I just assured them that you are less likely to get pointed out or to be called on to pray. Right, Josh? If you will sit at the front, because I kind of scan the back. Scan the balcony. If they turn these lights down, I could see. And see. I meant turn them up. Sorry about that. but where was I? We are going on Easter this year. We're going to have our two morning services here on Easter Sunday morning. No services Sunday evening. And in addition to that, we're going to have a worship service at White's Park in the middle of our county. And White's Park is right there just off of Interstate 10 in the middle of our county, just off of Highway 61. And we're going to have a worship service there at around 10 o'clock in the morning for those that aren't being reached there and just an outreach point in that area. But in addition to that, we had something that we have been praying about, and now it looks like it is going to happen. We received a phone call just this week, late this week, from a phone call back from the new Showbiz Theater. And they are going to allow us to rent one of their theaters before the theater opens on Easter Sunday morning. And we're going to be able, we're talking with them tomorrow about working out all the details of being able to have a worship service there, meeting all and reaching all those young couples that have moved in on that 146 corridor over there. And so you be in prayer for that. And why don't you give God a praise offering that He's given us that opportunity. But I look forward to this year with you. And there are just two things, really, that I want to do. And there's really, two things that a pastor is supposed to do. Just two. One is to comfort the tormented and to torment the comfortable. So I intend to do both of those this year and enjoy it. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible teaches us that God had worked a miracle in the life of a man who had been lame from birth and was now 40 years of age. And God used Simon Peter and John for that man to be healed. And it gave an opportunity for Simon Peter to preach the gospel. But because of that, they were called, they were taken captive and brought before the high court of the high priest there in Jerusalem and said, by whose name do you preach? By whose name are you saying these things? And they said, Jesus. And the Bible says that the people there in that court were amazed. They marveled at these men who had been with Jesus. They were amazed at what they saw in these people who have been with Jesus. Let me ask you something. Has anyone ever been amazed at your relationship with Christ? Has what's happened to you whenever you receive Christ as your personal Savior ever caused someone to just marvel, be amazed at what is going on in your life? It should. It should draw others to Christ. The Bible also says that they not only were amazed, but they were angered. And they threatened them, and they said, "Do not speak in the name of Jesus anymore." And in verse 19, the Bible says, "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" There was just such a mandate in their hearts of what Jesus had done in their lives, being with Jesus, hearing his teaching, seeing what he had done, going to the cross of Calvary and dying for our sins, and then coming back on the third day, rising from the dead like he said he would. They could not but speak the things that they had seen and heard. What have you told about Jesus lately? The Bible says that they, after Simon Peter said that, they threatened them again and they sent them out. And do you know what they did? They went out asking God for more boldness to be able to speak the gospel. And they got everyone together, and the Bible says in verse 31 that they assembled together and were praying to the Lord and asking for boldness, and the Bible says that the place was shaken. Don't you love it whenever you are in the presence of the Lord? And don't you love it when there has been a worship service where you feel like the Lord has just shook this place? I leaned over to Dana during that last song a while ago, and I said, "This place is shaking. This place is shaking." And I'm not talking about an emotional feeling. I'm talking about a sense of the presence of God. You see, there are people in here in this service that need to become like a little child, just like little Anna, who came down in that first service receiving Christ as personal Savior. And we have people in here this morning that you do not know Jesus as Savior. If something were to happen to you right now, you know that you would spend an eternity in a place called hell. Or you don't have assurance of your salvation. You don't know if you would or not, but the Bible says, and you may be thinking, well, how can you know? By the Word of God, because the Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." So you can know. And if you don't know, you need to know, and you can know that today. And there's some of you who have been members who have been coming here for a long time, but you've never said and made an open statement saying, "This is where God wants me, and I want to be here, and I want to serve, and I want to affirm this church and be a part of this fellowship. And I don't want to just be a spectator. I want to be a participator, and I want to invite you to come." There's some of you in here this morning that you need to do what we're going to read here in just a moment that some of the people did. You need to give up everything. You need to sell out to the Lord, and you need to be one of his evangelists. You need to be one of his missionaries. You need to be one of his preachers. The Bible says that after there were people that were amazed in them and then angry at them, and then they went and asked the Lord for boldness, and they assembled together, and the place was shook. Look at what verse 32 says. Now, the multitude, do you know what that multitude was comprised of? If you look at Acts chapter 4, verse 4, and you look at the last line in verse 4, it says that just counting the men, there were already 5,000 people who had joined the fellowship of believers there in Jerusalem. 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. Now, some of you may be thinking, you know what, there's just too many people here and I just don't like crowds. Well, I got news for you. If you don't like big crowds, there might be a real big crowd where you're going. And you might want to choose the smaller crowd, and that's the one that's going to be gathered around the throne of God. The Bible says that broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there are that go thereby. So if you don't like big crowds, you might want to skip that one and join the rest of us that plan on being in heaven and singing glory around the throne to our Lord Jesus. The Bible says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. So, I feel led to ask all of you to sell everything you have and just come give it. Is that what I'm asking you to do? Is that what God's telling us to do today? Let me share with you that these people in this story, that they did under the leadership of the Holy Spirit what God told them to do at that time, so that they could all become the evangelists of the world to get the church of the Lord Jesus Christ started. Now, what is the Lord Jesus Christ telling this church on Old River? Now, we can't speak for all the other churches that are in the world, but we do have to give an account for being a part of this church. What is God telling this church, the sacrifice that He wants us to make, so that we can continue the evangelism to the world, so that all people can know Christ as Savior? I want you to notice here in this story, the things that came out of the place being shaken is that, first of all, there was a great work that took place. And that great work is because they were all pulling together. There was a community of unity. And there is not anything that replaces the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, or in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, than us pulling together. It's amazing what happens, and it's amazing what your little line of help can do. I went on a trail ride this week, and I rode 21 miles on a jackhammer this past Wednesday. My horse, I don't know what got into my horse. He's all, and by the way, the horse that I'm talking about that I rode, I have two. And I took the one that if you want to ride, I always put you on him. I mean, he's just smooth. He's good. But I don't know if it was just that he got around all those mules and wagons and whatever was going on, and he got nervous, and he did this the whole 21 miles. And I'm not in a good mood this morning. So if you think you need to say amen, you might want to do that. So... I'm telling you, it made me so sore. But there were some things on that ride that I observed that I will never forget. It was in way out in West Texas, the other side of San Angelo. And it was mountainous out there and rough and rocky and thick. The brush was so thick, and there were little trails. And we had nearly 20 wagons that were on that trail ride. And 80 or plus riders on that trail ride, and we started up one of these hills, and all of a sudden the wagon stalled. Now, this wagon, as a matter of fact, it was more than one that stalled, and they had a team of mules. Now, I don't know if you know much about mules, but mules are strong. But they started up, and they had to stop, and then they couldn't get going again. And these cowboys, real cowboys went around up there, rode up there on their little horse, threw their rope down at one little line, and some others got on there, and they pulled together and pulled those wagons right on up the hill. And I tell you what, there is no limit to what can happen if this church decides, you know what, we're going to love each other, and we're going to pull together for one cause, and that is to make Jesus famous. I want to share with you, this building and this meeting is not about making you or me famous. It's about making Jesus famous. We want people, I promise you, I want the days ahead to be the most memorable for this church. For 2017, for it to be the start of the greatest time in the life of this church, should the Lord tarry and not come back. And you can do that if you pull together. And if there's a community of unity. You know, sometimes, I don't know how many of you like to deer hunt, but I love deer hunt, and I really prefer to bow hunt because it just puts you a lot closer to everything and the challenge of it, but just seeing these critters and how they act. And deer come in there, and I'll never forget the first time I was hunting with a longbow. And I was sitting up there on the stand, and I was over in Crosby. And these deer started coming in. And then out of the corner of my eye, I saw this huge, and I still can see him, huge 10-point. And I think he probably heard my heart. Boom, boom, boom. And he walked by me closer than from me to this front seat here. And he walked by, and he got in the opening, and all these deer were there. And so I raised up real quiet, and just as I was about to draw, one of these little bucks, one of these little ones over here, said, "Hey, everybody look out." And there was nothing anymore. They were gone. I'm telling you, deer look out for one another. But I was also hunting one time down in South Texas. I'm sitting on this tripod stand, and we were javelina hunting. Now, if you've ever hunted javelina, you can relate to this. But javelina, they say, are in the pig family. If you've ever seen one, it's a big rat. That's all it is. It's a big rat. And what they do to one another, when they come in, they start biting on one another. They come in where the feet is out, they start biting on one another, running each other off. And you know what? If one of them bites on this one, you know what he does? He runs over and bites on another one, and it's chaos. And that's what church can be sometimes. But God wants us to have a community of unity. And there's just no limit to what can happen whenever a great work takes place, whenever there is a community of unity. And they cared about one another. And out of thousands and thousands of them, I'm sure, you know, that they had different personalities, and some of them really liked some or enjoyed company of some more than others, but they pulled together and they loved each other. And Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by the way you love the brethren. By the way believers love believers." Now let's be like deer and look out for one another instead of acting like a bunch of javelina sometime and just gnawing on one another. The Bible teaches us not only was there a great work, but there was a great word. Great power to witness. They prayed, and God gave them great power to do what? To tell about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible doesn't say that God gave them great power, and they called together this conference, and they brought everybody in there, and they handed out booklets, and they said, "Okay, now we're going to go down, you know, principle number one, here's how you witness. Principle number two, here's what you do." Now, I'm for that. I am for that. I'm for training. Don't misunderstand me. The Apostle Paul was trained by Barnabas before he went into the ministry. So there's nothing wrong with training. But I want to tell you something. There is something wrong with us making excuses for not telling people about what Jesus has done for us. What if the person that led you to the Lord had decided, you know, I'm in maintenance, I'm not in sales. What if the person that led you to the Lord had had the attitude, well, if people can't see that I'm a Christian by the way I act and the way I live, then there's no need me saying anything about it. Baloney. Baloney. There's some of you can't play baseball worth a lick, but you sure try to tell people how to do it anyway. Do you know Jesus? Is he precious to you? Is he precious to you? Then tell it. Tell it. What did they do? They experienced Jesus and they went out and told others what Jesus had done for them. You do the same. And you watch what happens this year. There was a great word that went out. You know, if it's good enough for Nike, it's good enough for you. Just do it. Just do it. Just tell it. I want to tell you something else that came out of this. There was a great well-being for all of them. And you may be thinking, maybe not, but maybe you're thinking, you know, if they got rid of everything, how did they take care of one another? They just did. And you know what? Maybe they remembered the words of Jesus who said that if we would focus and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. You see, there was a great work that went on, a community of unity, because they weren't worried about things. And by the way, all our things that we have, all our stuff that we possess, all that, all those things are just on loan. Just on loan. You see those friends that are beside you? Just on loan. You can lose your friends like that. You know, those little children that you have beside you, those grandchildren, children that you have beside you, they're just on loan. By the way, you know that smile that you can have? Just on loan. And I know people who have been stricken with disease and are never able to smile again. You need to smile every chance you get. There was great well-being. The Bible teaches us that they weren't worried about what was, if there was going to be food on their table, and they weren't worried about the difficulty of the times. And there was no time that was more difficult than the times that the people of First Christianity, the times that they lived in. There was great well-being. God will take care of you. He will take care of you. He wants to take care of you. The Bible says that God has the hairs on your head numbered. Great well-being. And there was great wealth. Great wealth. You see, they realized that their wealth was not found in the possession of their lands. Their great wealth was found in coming together. And if anyone had need, and their wealth was found in telling something about the Savior and about someone who could save their soul and something that would be eternal. They didn't just give their tithe. Last year was the greatest year of giving we've ever had. Let's make this year the greatest year of giving we've ever had. I want to share with you that one of the joys that I've had as a believer is that my parents taught me to give. My parents taught me that if I mowed 2 yards and I got a quarter for each yard, I gave a nickel that Sunday. And they taught me at a very young age about giving. And I want to share with you, I believe firmly in tithing. And I don't believe that there is anyone in here who can't do it. I don't believe there is any exception to it in any believer's life. I believe that we should do it. And I believe it's a good place to start and a poor place to finish. Do you know that tithing is something that took place in the very first book of the Bible? And with the very first siblings from Adam and Eve, they came and they brought their gifts to the Lord. The Bible teaches us that before the law, you may be saying, oh, I'm a New Testament believer. I'm free from the law. Well, listen, friends. Before the law, there was giving to the Lord. The Bible teaches us that they built altars to the Lord before they even knew what the law was. And they brought their offerings to the Lord, and they brought their tithe. And Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek in the Old Testament. Now, if you don't know what that is, just go look it up. Google it. And look that up, and you will see. And then the Bible teaches us that it, whenever they wrote the law, that it became a part of that. And I want to share with you about the law. Jesus said, I have come not to remove one jot or tittle. Now, a jot and a tittle were the smallest markings in the Hebrew language. It would be like an apostrophe or dotting an I or crossing a T in the English language. And he said, I came not to remove one jot or tittle from the law, but to fulfill it. And Jesus also said to the Pharisees, he said, you give your tithes and offerings and you do well. This also ought you do. You know, some of you are really missing out on the blessings and the protection that God has for your life. You see, in Malachi 3:10, the Bible says that we are to bring all our tithe into the storehouse. Now, that doesn't mean that you get to just figure up what you're going to give, and you're going to give a dab here and give a dab there. You know, the Bible says you bring it into the storehouse. They brought their offerings and laid it at the apostles' feet, which is a symbol of they brought it to the church. They didn't say, now, what are you going to do with it? They didn't get into all of that. They just knew that God had said, do that. And you know what? Not every decision that this church body makes, are you always going to just really like it? But you know what? We're a body. And we're a community of faith. And so the Bible says that they would bring it there. And the Bible says in Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you cannot imagine or measure. But then it goes on to say something else. Before that verse of scripture, the Bible says that God called his people a robber. And they said, how have we robbed you? He said, in tithes and offerings. And then he said, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. And after he said that, the Bible says that God said, God, okay, not a man, God said, and see if I will not rebuke the devourer from all that you have. You know what? You decide that you're in charge and you don't have to go along with what God's word says, and God can say, okay, that's right. Devil, sick them. Just like that. Go ahead. And you think, well, God and devil don't talk. Yes, they do. Just read the book of Job. For the Bible says that the devil came before God, the counsel of God, and God asked him, he said, have you observed my servant Job? If there's none more righteous in all the earth? He said, yeah. I wonder, if the counsel of God was convening right now, and the devil showed up and asked about you, or asked about me, I wonder what God would say. And so I want to encourage you to experience the great wealth that only a believer can have by making sure that you live a life that says, all I have is just on loan. God, it belongs to you. And Lord, I want to give to you. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something else that you're not going to like. The Bible says in the Old Testament that if you have not been giving your 10%, if you haven't been giving a tithe, you need to give a fifth. Now, the problem is too many people want to take their tenth and go buy a fifth with it, and we don't want to go there. But the Bible says if you want to catch up, Don't say, well, I'm going to start my 10%. No, you need to look at what you should have been doing, and you double up until you catch up, and you watch what, and see what God does in your life. Just watch. Just try Him. God says, I'm not scared for you to try me out on that. Amazing what can happen when we pull together. Will you be one? Will you be one? And in verse 36, the Bible says, and Joseph, who was named Joseph, who also was named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Will you be one who would say, Lord, I want that work to come in my life, that only unity with you and having in common with others the name of Jesus. And I want to invite you to stand and bow your head in prayer.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.